here's a story from The World.
It's the worst flood season that southern China has seen in decades. 50 million people have been affected after twice the average rainfall fell in some places over the past 2 months. Flooding is expected to get worse in many parts of the world as climate change makes rainfall more intense and pushes up sea levels. So today in our weekly look at climate change solutions, we explore what China has been doing to make floods less damaging.
We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Can we turn this around?
We have no other option.
The only option that we have is to succeed.
What we do now and in the next few years will profoundly affect the next few thousand years.
Here's The World's Anna Kussmer with this week's installment of The Big Fix, reporting on efforts to reduce flooding in China.
The rain started and just didn't stop. In a cell phone video taken this week in the city of Anshu, water gushes down the street and a man watches, repeating "unbelievable" over and over in Chinese. Because of all the rain, the 4,000-mile-long Yangtze River and hundreds of tributaries overflowed their banks this summer. More than 150 people are now dead or missing, and more than 400,000 homes were damaged or destroyed. The impact is devastating. But it could have been much worse, like it was during China's last major flood back in 1998.
Although the precipitation is much higher than the year of 1998, the flood is less serious.
Junghua Lu is an environmental scientist at Southern University of Science and Technology in Shenzhen, China. The 1998 flood killed more than 3,000 people. And Lu says it made China rethink everything when it comes to managing floods.
So definitely this is a very important turning point for Chinese government to think about the relation between human and the nature.
For centuries, China's flood prevention strategy was to build walls, called levees, on the edge of the riverbank, with people living and farming right on the other side. After the 1998 flood, the government started to think about how people could live with the water rather than fighting it. They planted trees upstream from the rivers to help absorb rainwater.
The Chinese government initiated a lot of programs for the forestry restoration.
The government launched some of the biggest reforestation programs in the world.
So when we plant more trees in the upstream, this can reduce the runoff, and this is very helpful for the mitigation of the flood events.
Chinese authorities also launched the Sponge City Project, making flood-prone cities along the Yangtze absorb more rainwater, using things like more green spaces and permeable pavements. And they started to restore floodplains.
Floodplain is the low-lying area adjacent to a river that is periodically flooded.
Jeff Opperman is the lead freshwater scientist with the World Wildlife Fund. He says rivers naturally overflow into floodplains.
Rivers tend to swell and rise and occupy their floodplains on a fairly regular basis.
So Opperman says one of the best ways to protect people from flooding is to have fewer people living there.
So that's where the most potential bang for the buck is.
And that's what China did. After 1998, the government relocated around 2.5 million people and restored 1,000 square miles of floodplain along the Yangtze. Shenzhen environmental scientist Junghua Lu says these interventions helped. He argues they're part of the reason why the toll from this year's flooding is so far only a fraction of what it was in 1998. But floodplain restoration has its limits. Trees and permeable pavement can only absorb so much water. And convincing people to move away from the Yangtze at a larger scale is nearly impossible. Tens of millions of people live there. It's the heart of China's rice-growing region. Here's China flood expert David Shankman at the University of Alabama.
There are some places across these floodplains, as far as you can see, it's rice, with small agricultural villages.
Even though the government has incentivized many people to move away from the floodplains, the population keeps increasing. Many families have lived there for generations and don't want to give up farming.
For these provinces along the Middle Yangtze River, you can't in any practical way move, 5 million people, 10 million people.
The Three Gorges Dam, the controversial project that displaced more than 1 million people, has also helped this year by holding some of the Yangtze back. Shankman argues there needs to be even more storage for floodwaters. With climate change likely to make flooding worse in some places, Cecilia Tortajada, a water policy expert at the University of Singapore, says countries can learn from what has worked and what hasn't in China's large-scale projects.
And in terms of flood water management, they have learned a lot. So this is something that I think has been done very well.
She says countries should be thinking in the long term for a world with more intense and disruptive flooding events.
Because floods will not go away, so you have to plan for it, because that will be the new normal.
Creating a better relationship between people and rivers is a challenge that will only get harder as the planet gets hotter. For The World, I'm Anna Kussmer.
As part of The Big Fix today, we bring you the next in a series of poems by young writers sharing their reflections on climate change.
Hi, I'm Nirita. I'm 15 years old and I currently live in Dubai, though I'm from India.
During the height of India's pandemic lockdowns, Nirita Kumar was inspired when she saw pictures of her hometown. There was no air pollution, so a beautiful view emerged.
When my Instagram flooded with pictures of the faraway Himalayas towering over the town of Jalandhar, I had to find a way to transcribe that beauty into words.
She wrote this poem, Himalayas and Jalandhar.
125 miles. I never imagined they could be so close behind the smoggy sky. The bus stations filled with hawkers and sardars on scooters. On top of us all loomed a shadow wheeled 30 years ago, my grandmother says. So many years in school, but they never taught us what we saw yesterday when we woke up. They exhibit themselves because they know buses will soon start running again. Scooters will swerve their way to work. We will cover them again with gauze thick enough to create a mist that blinds us to beauty of all kinds. And what will be left of this one fleeting moment of peace will be the stories we tell our grandchildren. Once upon a time.
That was Nirita Kumar reading her poem about her hometown of Jalandhar, India. Produced by Uzair Emud and Anna Kussmer, it's a collaboration with the educational nonprofit Write the World. You can read poems written by other young people from the U.S., Nigeria, and India. You'll find them at theworld.org/thebigfix. And while you're there, catch up on our climate solutions reporting.